A lighting module to grow 4 marijuana plants takes as much energy as 29 refrigerators. That means indoor marijuana growers in the Northwest are going to use a lot of electricity over the next 20 years, enough to power up to 200,000 homes. That's according to the Northwest Power and Conservation Council. Well, after some hesitation, Washington utilities are now rewarding marijuana growers for reducing their energy use. KUOW's Law and Politics reporter Amy Radel has the story.
At Trailblazin Productions in Bellingham, Jetty Rosellison grows marijuana indoors under all LED lights. Rosellison has found pros and cons to LEDs, but their performance has improved as he's worked with them. He says LEDs use much less electricity and generate a lot less heat.
Our power bill is probably half of what it should be, and our air conditioning bills are probably 70% less.
Last summer, Rosellison's local utility, Puget Sound Energy, gave him a rebate to help pay for these efficiency measures. He checks with his wife, Danielle, on the amount.
Hold on one second.
Hey, Danielle, how much was the big check from PSE?
We got a $150,000 rebate.
And by big check, he means a big check.
Price is Right, a big check, like a 3 foot tall by 5 foot long check. Written out for the amount of the rebate and was presented to us at a City of Bellingham Chamber of Commerce luncheon.
The event was notable mostly because the recipient was a marijuana grower. Investor-owned utilities like PSE were among the first to offer incentives to legal marijuana businesses for greater efficiency. Jason Teller is a vice president at PSE.
We've taken the same approach that we would take again with any large, intense usage customer, which is we've got an obligation to pursue reasonable conservation efforts, and we've taken that on.
PSE's energy is drawn almost equally from coal and hydroelectric power, with a smaller percentage from natural gas. So indoor marijuana production could increase energy demands and carbon emissions. But Teller says some growers don't like LEDs. They'd rather pay higher bills for traditional lights and more air conditioning.
I would say on the challenging side, in working with growers, we've heard that LED lighting might not always produce the same outcomes for the grower.
Now, public utilities are also cautiously getting into rebates for growers. With marijuana still illegal under federal law, those utilities are unlikely to hold a photo op when they write checks to growers. They don't want to jeopardize the power they buy from the Bonneville Power Administration or the federal grants they receive. Scott Thompson with Seattle City Light says the utility has concluded that it can safely work with marijuana growers as long as the program is not marijuana specific, so they're classified under indoor agriculture.
We're agnostic as to what the product is that is being grown. We're more concerned about the type of lighting and heating, ventilation, and cooling that you're using.
He says so far, City Light has agreements with 4 grow operations to perform energy efficiency upgrades. No rebates have been paid out yet. Thompson says marijuana growers, along with data centers and electric cars, constitute some of the new power-hungry customers for Seattle City Light. Seattle is home to 17 marijuana growers, but up to 100 more could soon be permitted.
This is not unlike dropping in 100 data centers. So to give you a comparison, this type of agriculture uses about 300 kilowatt hours of electricity per square foot. A typical office building in Seattle uses about 18 kilowatt hours per square foot.
The city's power comes from hydroelectric dams, so these new uses don't pose the same questions about carbon emissions as in coal-powered areas. But Thompson says greater efficiency is helping keep overall energy demand flat, despite the area's population growth. Alex Cooley is the co-founder of the marijuana producer Solstice in Seattle's Soto neighborhood. His is one of the marijuana businesses now working with City Light. Still, Solstice is only using LED lighting for part of the growing cycle. Cooley says he's not happy enough with LEDs to go all the way.
Because it doesn't produce the type of cannabis that we want to produce. It just doesn't pencil for us properly. You can't command as high of a price point as we we feel like we need to with indoor cannabis.
But they are reducing their need for those high-intensity lights in other ways. His marketing manager, Joe Santucci, leads us through a labyrinth of rooms in one of their production facilities. In one corner, the mother plants that supply all the genetics for the marijuana they grow are still kept under the old lights. But Santucci says they're now preserving cuttings from those plants in petri dishes. Soon, those bright lights won't always be necessary.
As long as we have that basically DNA of that plant in a dish, we don't need to have the mothers anymore.
Nearby racks of smaller plants sit under glowing pink LEDs. And Solstice is opening a much larger production facility nearby at a cost of $8 million. Cooley says he'd rather be putting that money into growing marijuana under the sun.
We have a 44-acre farm. We have a 10-year master plan for 10 greenhouses. It is very much so on our radar.
But he says investors aren't willing to fund that type of project right now. In Seattle's Soto neighborhood, I'm Amy Radel, KUOW News.